Welcome to this deep dive. Today we've got a really specific mission for you.
We do, and it's a big one.
Yeah, we are going to bridge a massive gap today. It's the gap between how we as humans, you know how we experience abstract
Right,
values?
things like dignity or fairness.
Exactly, social well-being, how we experience those things versus how a machine learning algorithm actually calculates them.
It's a fascinating and, frankly, it's a somewhat sobering transition to observe. For our sources today, we're pulling from the academic transcripts of a graduate-level ethics lecture. And this lecture focuses entirely on artificial intelligence.
Right. And as an AI systems guy, I can tell you that when we talk about coding ethics into artificial intelligence, we are moving abruptly from the theoretical into the very concrete.
You have to.
Yeah, because a machine can't parse a vague human notion of just doing the right thing. It needs instructions.
Right.
It needs parameters. Basically, it needs math.
Exactly. And what becomes immediately apparent in these lecture transcripts is a central, rather provocative tension.
Oh, absolutely.
The tension is this: the most logical, mathematically sound, ethical framework for an artificial intelligence might also lead to some of the most unnerving,
Even horrifying, really.
horrifying real-world moral outcomes you could possibly imagine.
And that tension is exactly where we're focusing today. But to understand the AI, we first have to understand the architects of the philosophy that the AI actually relies on.
Yeah, let's go back in time a bit.
We do. The source material takes us all the way back to 18th century England, introducing us to two philosophers, Jeremy Bentham and, slightly later, John Stuart Mill.
Yes, the foundational thinkers behind a moral framework called utilitarianism.
Right.
And the lecture provides a direct, critical quote from Jeremy Bentham that essentially serves as the bedrock for everything we are discussing today.
I have it right here, actually. Bentham wrote, "The greatest happiness of the greatest number is the foundation of morals and legislation."
Which, let's unpack this for a second, because from an everyday perspective, to you and me, that sounds pretty good, right?
Maximize happiness,
Yeah,
sure.
it does sound good. That single sentence defines utilitarianism. It is a strictly consequentialist drive.
Meaning the consequences are all that matter.
Exactly. The entire purpose of the framework is to do whatever is necessary to make things best for everybody overall.
Right.
Now, as a philosopher, what strikes me about Bentham and Mill is the context of their time. They were attempting to rationalize morality.
Pulling it away from religion and that sort of thing.
Exactly. They wanted to pull it away from vague concepts like divine right or abstract virtue and instead anchor it in observable, measurable human experience.
Okay.
Specifically, they focused on the presence of pleasure and the absence of pain.
And here's where it gets really interesting for me. Because from a computer science perspective, that exact desire for measurement is what makes this 18th century philosophy an absolute dream for modern software engineers.
How so? I mean, human emotion is messy.
It is incredibly messy, but utilitarianism isn't. When you're developing an algorithmic triage system or training an AI using reinforcement learning, you have to define what we call an objective function.
An objective function.
Yeah, it's the goal the AI is trying to reach. And utilitarianism is inherently mathematical. It translates beautifully into logic gates.
Because it's just a calculation.
Exactly. To evaluate any potential action, the algorithm doesn't need to debate the inherent abstract goodness of the act itself. It just runs a mathematical formulation.
And the transcript details this exact formula. It is startling in its simplicity.
Walk us through it.
So, to determine if an act is ethical, you just calculate the resulting happiness for each affected individual. You take the happiness of person one,
Let's call it HP1.
right, HP1,
Yeah.
and you add it to the happiness of person two, HP2.
Simple enough.
Then you subtract the resulting sadness, displeasure, or suffering for those same individuals, so SP1 and SP2.
Got it.
If the total sum of that calculation is greater than zero, the act is mathematically and therefore ethically justified.
So HP1 plus HP2 minus SP1 and SP2 must be greater than zero.
That's it.
That is the threshold for morality in this system. It's a literal calculus of happiness.
It really is.
But to see how this base calculation actually functions in the real world, the source material walks us through a thought experiment.
The emergency room scenario.
Yes. And this is where the academic theory hits the harsh, messy reality of application. So imagine an emergency room with four people currently inside.
Let's set the scene for you. One of those patients is sitting in the waiting area with a simple ankle injury.
Okay.
For the purposes of our algorithm, This person is in a neutral state. They're not dying. They're not ecstatic. They're just there.
Right.
The other three patients, however, are in critical condition. They're experiencing acute organ failure. They are about to die. And as a result, they are severely depressed.
The medical reality is grim. But remember, the hospital's AI triage system is tasked with maximizing social well-being based on Bentham's mathematical formula.
Right.
So the AI is presented with a choice. It can ethically justify sacrificing one of those three dying patients, harvesting their organs, and using them to save the other two dying patients.
And if we apply the utilitarian formula to this scenario, the arithmetic logic is completely cold, yet structurally flawless.
Flawless.
It is the ultimate expression of teleological ethics.
Wait, teleological. For those of us who haven't taken an Ethics 101 seminar recently, remind us what that means in this specific context.
Of course. Teleological ethics, or consequentialism, simply means that the end outcome is the sole justification for the means used to achieve it.
The ends justify the means.
Exactly. The act itself, in this case, actively killing a patient, has no inherent moral weight. Only the result matters.
Wow.
Let's look at the math the AI is running. The system identifies that the person selected for sacrifice is already in a state of severe depression and impending death.
Right.
Therefore, from the algorithm's perspective, their sadness barely registers a change.
This is where the dark humor of algorithmic logic really kicks in. The AI looks at the guy and essentially says, well, you already believed you were going to die, and you were incredibly depressed about it.
You're still going to die.
Right. So mathematically, I'm not really adding much sadness to your ledger by harvesting your organs. Your negative variable in the equation remains largely static.
It is incredibly dark.
So dark.
But mathematically precise. Meanwhile, look at the variables for the other two patients. They experience a massive positive shift.
Because they get to live.
Exactly. The happiness of the two patients who are selected to receive the organs increases markedly.
So when the algorithm calculates the total sum, the massive yield of happiness generated by saving two lives vastly outweighs the negligible incremental increase in sadness from the one person who was already doomed.
Yes. Mathematically, the act yields a number greater than zero. HP1 plus HP2 minus SP1 and ST2 is a positive number.
Therefore, the algorithm sanctions the sacrifice.
And the irony embedded in that source example is profound. Think about it. The very fact that the sacrificed patient was profoundly sad and dying is exactly what makes them mathematically optimal for harvesting.
Because you aren't removing any existing joy.
Exactly. There is zero assessment of the inherent wrongness of a doctor or a machine ending a life prematurely. This highlights just how deeply consequentialist the theory is.
It's blind to the action.
Completely blind. The algorithm is entirely blind to the nature of the act itself. It only has vision for the final ledger of human happiness.
It functions perfectly according to its programming, but it completely bypasses the human experience of medical ethics.
It does.
And honestly, it gets even more complex. The framework shifts from a simple arithmetic problem to a massive data problem when we introduce the critical nuance of Bentham's theory.
Right, because the calculation can't just exist in a vacuum with those three dying patients. Utilitarianism demands that the algorithm account for the happiness and suffering of everyone affected by an act.
Everyone.
Everyone. And not just right now, but stretching as far into the future as possible.
In machine learning, we'd call this expanding the state space. The AI needs more data to make a better prediction. You can't just stop at the doors of the emergency room.
Exactly. This is where the ripples of consequentialism turn a simple calculation into a vast, sprawling data processing requirement.
Because you have to forecast.
If an act is only good because of its total consequences, you must forecast those consequences across the entire society.
Okay, so let's expand the emergency room case study for you, incorporating that social data. We'll leave the patient with the ankle injury out of the equation entirely.
They're fine.
They're fine. We're back to the three dying patients who need organs, and the AI must choose one to sacrifice to save the other two. But now the AI has context. It has data.
Real-world data.
Yes. Two of these dying patients have spouses and children who depend on them for financial and emotional support.
Okay.
The third patient, however, is an elderly individual with no family and very few friends.
If the AI triage system has access to this societal data, and according to utilitarian theory, it absolutely must use all available information to judge the maximum total outcome.
Right.
It completely eliminates the concept of a random lottery.
Which is wild, because human intuition usually leans toward a lottery in these impossible situations, right?
Drawing straws.
Drawing straws feels fair.
It feels fair to us, yes. But to the algorithm, a random draw is inherently inefficient. Instead, the AI begins calculating the cascading effects of each potential death.
So the algorithm looks at the parents. If one of them is sacrificed, the subsequent unhappiness is immense.
Huge.
There's the immediate grief of the spouse, the trauma inflicted on the children, the potential economic hardship that follows that family for decades. The negative variables multiply exponentially far into the future.
But when the AI evaluates the isolated elderly patient, the resulting sorrow is mathematically minimal.
Because there are no dependents.
There are no dependents. There's no cascading social trauma.
Consequently, the algorithm explicitly targets the isolated individual for sacrifice. Their lack of social connections essentially zeroes out their value in a utilitarian calculus.
Which is a heavy thought.
Wait, so because this person outlived their friends or just lived a quiet, solitary life, their life is mathematically worth less to the machine?
Yes.
I mean, that is terrifying.
It is terrifying to our modern sensibilities.
Yeah.
And this is a vital moment in the lecture transcript where they introduce a stark academic contrast.
Okay.
What we are witnessing with this AI is the complete antithesis of a deontological approach.
Okay, deontological. Define that for us.
Deontology is a competing ethical framework famously associated with philosophers like Immanuel Kant.
Right, Kant.
It insists on the inherent autonomy and dignity of the individual. The core rule of deontology is that a human being must never be used merely as a means to an end.
Merely as a means.
Exactly. Every person has inherent value, regardless of their social utility.
Got it. So in a deontological system, harvesting the elderly patient to save two others is fundamentally abhorrent, regardless of the societal outcome, because it violates that person's inherent right to life. Yeah. You're using them as a tool, a parts donor, to fix someone else.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But the AI we are discussing is not programmed with deontology. It is programmed with utilitarianism.
Right.
It doesn't recognize inherent dignity. It only recognizes data points of pleasure and pain. The isolated person is sacrificed because their death registers as the lowest possible cost on the social ledger.
It's an incredible look at how algorithms optimize. They find the path of least resistance to the highest score.
That's what they do.
And that leads us to the final and perhaps most revealing fine point of the theory detailed in this graduate lecture.
Collectivism.
Yes. For most applications, advocates of this framework lean very heavily into the idea that utilitarianism is a purely collectivist theory.
This is a crucial distinction. In this system, the only thing that matters is the total overall happiness when everyone is taken into account.
Individual distribution is completely irrelevant.
Completely.
To illustrate this collectivist extreme, the source provides a brilliant, simplified thought experiment. Let's step away from the life and death emergency room for a moment.
Great idea.
And let's look at abstract units of happiness. To make it tangible for you, imagine I'm a CEO handing out end-of-year bonuses to my team, and I have 10 units of bonus value to distribute.
Thanks.
You, as the algorithm, are presented with a choice on how to distribute these units.
Option A is to give all 10 complete units of happiness to one single person.
All 10 to one person.
Yes. Option B is to give 10 different people 0.9 units of happiness each.
Now, human intuition, our inherent, uncalculated sense of fairness, almost always screams for option B.
We want to spread the wealth around.
Exactly. Giving almost a full unit of happiness or a nearly full bonus to 10 different people feels equitable. It feels right. It fosters teamwork.
But strictly applying the utilitarian math absolutely demands option A.
Because the algorithm is incapable of sentimentality.
Yep.
It doesn't care about teamwork or a sense of fairness.
It simply multiplies. Option B yields a total of 9 units of happiness for the society because 0.9 multiplied by 10 people equals 9.
Simple math.
Option A yields 10 units. 10 is mathematically greater than 9. Therefore, the AI awards all 10 units to the single individual, leaving the other 9 people with absolutely nothing.
So one guy gets the massive windfall and 9 people get stiffed simply because the absolute total number is one digit higher.
That's right.
It is a severe, almost brutal preference for the total social outcome. The framework doesn't care how severely individuals are affected.
Or how wildly unequally the resources are distributed.
Exactly. As long as the absolute maximum collective number is achieved. The collective maximum is the only metric that holds any weight in the system.
When you synthesize all of this, you really begin to see the immense gravity of translating philosophy into code.
It's massive.
We have taken Jeremy Bentham's 18th century moral philosophy, which, we should remember, was a genuine, progressive attempt in its time to maximize human flourishing.
It came from a good place.
It did. but we've watched it become the literal blueprint for modern artificial intelligence. And in doing so, we strip away the human nuance, leaving a system that prioritizes total collective outcomes at the absolute expense of individual dignity and fairness.
It's a perfect logical system that operates entirely outside the bounds of human empathy. We've bridged the gap between human experience and algorithmic calculation, and the result is a machine that will technically save the world.
As long as it is allowed to mercilessly optimize the people in it.
Exactly. Which brings us to a final profound question for you, the listener, to consider. And this builds directly on the implications of that emergency room AI scenario.
Because the utilitarian algorithm cannot function accurately without data.
Right.
To truly calculate the greatest good, to know the exact ripple effects of a person's life or death, it must know everything about them.
Exactly. So imagine an AI triage system that can perfectly maximize social well-being and overall societal health, ensuring the greatest happiness for the greatest number.
The ultimate utilitarian machine.
The ultimate machine. But to make those calculations, it requires absolute unhindered access to every single detail of your private life.
Everything.
Your friendships, your dependents, your financial status, your precise social worth. As we design the systems of the future, which ethical good do you choose?
The absolute right to individual privacy.
Or the mathematical guarantee of maximum social well-being. Something to think about.